Well, if I didn't have trust in God and His Word, I think I would have been hopelessly saddened by the events of this past week. When we were on vacation, I went to see the movie Detroit, and I lived through that. My uncle's store was burned through that riot. I was in the city when it happened. Had guns from the National Guard pointed on me. I saw what civil unrest did to a city. I saw what happened the next year, something like you guys hoped for, when the Tigers won the World Series, and for about 3 days, people came together. And then we kind of fall back into normalcy, fall back into our same bias, our same bigotries, our same ideologies, our same thoughts. And somehow, if you're a Christian, that kind of takes second place. And it can't. Many of us here who have come to this church, when we send out a seminar or a survey, the number one reason often said is, I love the diversity. How many here love the diversity? I do. I love it, and it's a challenge because it's nothing but wallpaper if it doesn't become real. It's nothing but, you know, meaningless integration if we don't truly disciple according to the Word of God and see people as God sees them. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. All means what? All. My God is a tremendous artist with tremendous creativity, let alone no two people are exactly alike. I still don't figure out, you know, like they say, there's no two snowflakes or leaves alike. How do you know that? I just take the word, right? There's no two human beings exactly alike, even identical twins. Who could do that? But a great giant God who says, I did what I did, I do what I do, I made people the way I wanted to make them, and God so loved the world. And that includes all. We were driving home. We were miles from Charlottesville on our way home when this thing broke out. Didn't even know it happened until the next day when we made the mistake of turning on the television and I got visibly sick. Then shortly after that, Barcelona broke out. And you see lives and terrorists and tragedies. At the same time, I received a prayer request from last Sunday that I won't mention the name, but I'll share the prayer request and why we must think biblically during these times. I'm praying for peace in Virginia. I have friends there. Also, my son's friend just began his career as a patrol officer in Charlottesville. Will you pray for him? You see, if you're not praying for both sides, you're not understanding biblical reconciliation. If ideology and politics are more important to you than God's word, you don't understand biblical reconciliation. Jesus said there's not going to be peace in this world apart from Him. Don't fool yourself. He never promised peace at the end of the thing until He creates His new kingdom once and for all. But in the process, He said, when at all times possible, be peacemakers. And that includes all of us. And that includes how I handle tragedy, how I handle unrest, and it starts in your home. Are you a forgiver? Are you a blamer? Do you point fingers at others? Do you flex stuff that God's trying to want get you to own yourself? It starts in a mirror. Now, I'm speaking to myself now. I called three people, three dear friends of mine, black brothers. And I said, I want you to tell me every way I have either tokenized or treated you with disrespect over the years. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Except for 1 year, all my roommates in college were men of color. I've worked in the inner city for the last 36 years, and it means diddly squat if I don't come to grips with my heart issues. It was hard for me to realize how prejudiced my heart was many moons ago. And I thought I was far advanced than most, especially most of my white brothers and sisters who either have never directly experienced bigotry or have a great way of kind of trivializing it, deflecting it, making it somebody else's problem. Suck it up, grow up, it'll pass, get a life. America offers the freedom of speech, expression, and peaceful demonstration. And for those who criticize America quickly, I invite you to go to many of the countries I've traveled to where that privilege doesn't exist. But with every privilege comes responsibility. And we cannot shirk responsibility as believers. If you leave this week in the hands of a political issue, you'll never see resolve ever. Last time I read the Bible says, love those who hate you. Pray for those who curse you. You see, it's always about reaction. I can't control what other people do. And I'm not going to condone what other people do either. But how I respond is critical. Peter and Paul had issues of bigotry, didn't they? They both did. And they had to get real with themselves. Stephen on the cross said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. That wasn't God, but that was God in Stephen. How many here are Christians? That's God in you, who will not settle for any kind of resolution apart from what his word says and what his Holy Spirit says. Demands. All ideologies are going to fall. Revelation 18, read it. No ideology is going to stand forever. They're all doomed for failure. There's only one who will last, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all eternity. It's very clear that God's word hates bigotry, racism, favoritism, and especially within the body of Christ. So for those of you here who love diversity, count it a privilege that God has called you here, but act on it. Act on it by getting real before God. The last verses of Psalm 139, 23, and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Show me if there's any anxious ways in me, and lead me in your everlasting path. You know, God usually works from the bottom up. I think that's why in John 13, right before he was going to be put to death, he stooped down to wash the feet of his followers. There was a sign there. There was a message there. We're looking for change from the top down. It's going to happen from believers, from the bottom up, who are salt and light Christians, who are willing to say, God has sovereignly placed me here, 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 and by the grace of God, I'm going to represent Christ. I'm going to seek to be a peacemaker, and I'm going to pray for the ones my flesh wants to hate. What happened to the apostles, or Saul? He was sincerely wrong. Saul became Paul. And we wouldn't even probably be sitting here today if it wasn't for Paul. And how God used him to build the church with teachings from heaven. 9 years in Glenville and East Cleveland, it took me years to recognize the ugliness in my soul. And I continually have to talk to God whenever I get issues to make sure I'm starting with myself. I was different growing up. This skin isn't white. I was called some very ugly names that I had to deal with. I was mired in hatred, and even in my own home as an Arab, hating Jews. Didn't know a Jew, but Arabs hated Jews. Blacks hated whites. Whites hated blacks. Browns hated whomever. Koreans and the Chinese hated each other. Japanese. Yeah, there are a few others too. You can extend it all over the place. But as a believer, we can never, ever stop there. It's easier to stereotype, say a few things, or ignore the issue completely. 40 years of serving Jesus in many different cultures and colors reminds me every day that if I'm serious about this, the Lord must search me and reveal me truly what I am putting first and then repent if it's wrong. And dare I say, repent publicly. Let me expand on that a minute. Years ago, we had a senior from Case Western Reserve when we had a lot of college students here. Many of you know him. His name is Eric Rodriguez. Eric had come to me maybe a week before, and we had a long, long talk. And then he asked permission if he could share some thoughts from right here. At the age of 12, Eric got hooked on pornography. Age of 12. Through a very insidious act by one of his relatives, and then reading materials that he got enticed to and hooked on. And he read James 5, 13 to 16. If I confess my sins one to another and pray for one another, I will be healed. The effectual prayers of a righteous man bring healing. Now, I know that when I sin, I'm called first and foremost to confess to God, who is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1 and 9. But there's times as a church who loves God and loves one another, we need to have the courage to be set free by publicly repenting of the things that I'm burying in my spirit and maybe not even burying. Because it's the only way you're going to get set free. Ideology is going to set free. People are going to get set free. Ethnicity is going to be set free when you get honest and real with God and with God's people. It was one of the most humbling things I had to do years ago when I came back from China. When God showed me there seven people that I had issues with, that I had to deal with in my heart. And when I came back that first Sunday, and everyone was wanting to hear about how I went in China, I said, well, we're going to break it up into two messages. The message of the exterior will be next week. The message of the interior will be this week. And I bore my heart with the church. And at the end, I said, if there's anyone else I've hurt here that I may or may not even be aware of, please come to me. Now, I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook. And I guess that's probably by design, though I know I'm archaic and dinosaur. But I say that to say this. If anything you have a problem with in terms of what I'm trying to address, don't tweet somebody else. Come to me. That's an invitation out of love. Because I want to grow in God, and I want you to grow in God. Other than that, we don't exist. There's no stupid reason to gather here on a hot Sunday morning if we're not seeking to grow in the word and the grace and the love of God. And that's evidenced by how we treat one another. You can deal with your own politics before God first and foremost. But when we consider the founding of our nation built upon our brutality against the Native American Indians, the allowance of slavery to build a strong economic base, and then how that trickles down. It would be impossible for us to think everything is hunky-dory and smooth because our ideology has been shaped by history. We see what's happening with history now. Monuments coming down, statues coming down. I don't get all that stuff. And I know sometimes we're knee-jerk. You know, we do something and 3 days later we're on to something else. I'm asking you today to don't listen to Pastor Joe, but listen to God and His Word. To get on your knees if you need to. To stand up, confess if you must. To go to a brother or sister that you've had an attitude about. And let God make it right. The mark of the Christian church back in the day, during times that were much more horrific than this. If you don't believe me, read the biography of a guy by the name of Nero. He literally had Christians for lunch. But the mark of the Christian church was they loved one another. I can love in word. I can love in deed. The Bible says I love in word and in deed. My dear pastor friend, my prayer partner, Rodney Maiden, over at Providence Church in Euclid and downtown. And I pray for him today. He fell down the steps yesterday, broke his collarbone while he's caring for his wife who has MS. But years ago, I sat with him because I sensed something going on here at the church. And nobody would ever speak it. So if I'm presuming something, forgive me. But the pattern I saw was our young Caucasian families, when their kids got to a certain age, they left. They never would say why. They would just leave. And I asked him about it. And he said, remind your folks of this because they're in the greatest place in the history of Cleveland to make a difference. He said in 2042, less than 50% of the people in America are going to be white. And that number is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller in the years after that. Teach them that if the church has got to be the one place where we can try to make this situation right, so your kids that you're going to release out there one day when mommy and daddy don't have control are already prepared to love yellow, black, and white because they're precious in His sight. But it's a choice. It's a choice you have to make. It's a choice I have to make. It's a choice that's kept me here 25 years when at times I wanted to run because I got weary and tired and felt like this is a losing battle when I see this as the greatest opportunity in the world to lay this aside, to lay that aside, and put Him where He belongs, King of Kings and Lord of Lords over my life. You make the choice. If you stay, and I certainly hope you do, that's what I hope you're seeking. If you don't, I respect you, and I love you, and I will pray for you because it's not about right or wrong. It's about the body of Christ that God is trying to assemble in a very special way on this corner. That touches the whole city and suburban Cleveland. Spread a good aroma of Jesus. Be honest with yourself. You always have that closing line about being honest, Sam. And I'm drawing a blank on it right now. With your own self, be true, right? I just like to pray and just give you some time to pray. As we worship our Lord. By the way, the worship has already started. Father in heaven, I thank You for this day. And I pray, Lord God, for our nation, which is so divided in such an ugly way. I know You hate hate. And You give us freedom, God, in this land to express ourselves. And whether we agree or disagree with what one says, but as believers, may Your word, I hate to say, trump every other ideology. And God, we would respond biblically, not merely by our own idealism, political bent, whatever. Forgive us, Lord God, where we've injured the body that your son died for. Forgive us, Lord God, where we've showed favoritism as you speak against in James. And we've not truly acknowledged one another in the personhood that you created them to be. God, revive us, I pray. Revive me. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would reveal our hearts. You would make this a place where I could be free to confess if need be without shame. And you would make a graceful acceptance in this body for all who need healing. Help us not stifle somebody's healing out of fear, out of shame. Thank you for the praise team here, many of them who worked diligently yesterday down in Southern Ohio. Replenish them and refresh them. And lead us in worship today, I pray. In Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.